Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, it's our movie podcast.
This is our movie podcast.
We are doing Long Legs, which came out in theaters, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, it did.
But we're now just getting around to talk about it. So, quick, Marquez, if you have been following us for a while, which we're not like super gigantic big. So if you're our friends or family, we used to have another podcast that was pretty similar.
Yes. Yes,
and
we did.
So because that we're now getting back into this, I have a gift for you.
So a gift?
I have a gift. Something that's reminiscent of the olden days.
Is it Yu-Gi-Oh cards?
Oh, I wish. That would be a really better gift.
Is it Beyblades?
Oh, my God, dude. That would be such a better gift.
Is it a Pez dispenser?
No. I didn't really like Pez that much.
I fucking hate those.
I liked when I was, like, kid. Like, disgusting. Really kid. But they just weren't.
You're
that
despicable.
Good. The orange ones were good, but besides that. Anyways, I got you a tall boy. I got you a long boy for a Long Legs movie review.
Oh, my God.
It's called Stacy's Mom.
I brought my long legs today, too. That's crazy. Good. What a coincidence.
That's good. So we're going to crack these bad boys
open. Does that say Stacy's Mom?
Stacy's Mom.
Is this Stacy's Mom's juice?
It's Stacy's Mom's juice.
That's crazy. It's citrus flavored.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I like citrus flavored. Anyway, I just picked it up because it says Stacy's Mom, and they were long. So
7.5%.
That is a lot, now that I think about it.
No, it's okay.
Anyways, we're going to crack these open real quick.
Let's crack them open. Hey, here's some ASMR content.
I was like, I think that's going to fly everywhere. That was my thought.
It didn't.
I thought it was going to fly everywhere.
I was careful.
All right, let's drink these long boys and see how they taste and then get into this long legs review.
Stacy's Mom?
So I just spilled it all over myself. I'm really pissed. I'm sorry.
Well, I love that for you, dude.
It is a nice little citrus app. It's not like an extremely harsh IPA flavor.
No, I've definitely had harder.
Yeah, I like it. I honestly don't really care for IPAs, but this one's not too bad.
Thank you, Stacey.
Yeah, thank you. Your mom did a really good job.
Yeah.
But why are you trying to, like, you know, try to hit on that, like, that kid, Stacey's mom?
Yeah, I guess that's
pretty
bad.
Can't you see that that's just not right?
It's 2024.
Yeah.
We're canceling everybody out here. Even Stacy's mom. She should have been the first, to be real.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, what you got for us, man?
Okay, well, first topic. Why did he have long legs?
That is a great question, you know? This movie starred Nick Cage and Micah Monroe. Fantastic people.
Yeah. We won't.
Fantastic actors.
I want to first say we should not do spoilers first. I just thought that was a funny intro.
No, I won't spoil. But I will spoil about this man's obnoxiously average-sized legs.
Yeah, they were pretty average legs.
I didn't think they were any longer than the normal-sized person. I do think Nick Cage is on the taller side, but I wouldn't say that he had long legs or that his legs ever grew much. I'm not sure. I'm not sure really where the long legs name came from. I had a thing for this film where I really felt like this film should have been called Cuckoo.
Yes, I remember you telling me that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, we've got this movie coming out now called Cuckoo by the director David Latimos.
Yeah.
Yargos? Right. Yargos,
yeah,
or Latimos?
Who did the same director who did
Poor Things.
Poor Things.
Yes. I'm
no,
forgetting
no,
the
no,
last
that's,
name.
No, he did another film. That's a different movie. Cuckoo is a different film, though, that I don't know who the director is. He did another
film. No, I think it is him. I think it's him.
I think so.
I could be wrong. Either way, Cuckoo's coming out, right? Not by Neon, but it's already coming out, so you can't have two movies coming out at the same time with the same name. I get it. But the movie should have been called that. Would have been crazy. Would have been ingenious. He says Cuckoo.
A lot.
He says it a lot.
A lot
more
than Long
Legs.
It's kind of funny.
He does say a lot more than Long Legs. It makes a lot more sense. It's just kind of one of those things where it's just kind of like Babadook. You know, yeah, Babadook is his name, but he also be saying it. They be saying it. So like it reinforces it. And you're like, oh, that's crazy. That sounds good. That sounds really, really scary. And,
yeah,
you know, spooky. But long legs isn't. It's just kind of long legs.
Yeah, I didn't get it. Not the movie to an extent, but I didn't get why it's called Long Legs. But leading from that, the performance of the Nick Cage, of Nicolas Cage.
He's Nick Caging it up.
What did you like it? Like, did compared to his other performances?
I think there's just such a
where is this on the level of Nick Cage?
I think there's always this conversation when it comes to Nick Cage where it's like you have people that love Nick Cage because they're like, yo, he's caging it up. It's crazy. We love it. Over the top. And then you have the people that are really like, I freaking hate this man. I hate his acting. I think he's bad. I don't know why you guys like it. And it's almost a similar but different conversation with like Adam Sandler. They kind of do, those actors fall a bit into that lane. And I would always argue with people, and I will stand on this, that both are fantastic actors. Mm-hmm. Nick Cage is a fantastic actor. Adam Sandler is a fantastic actor. What these guys do in their roles is unique and special. That's why they keep getting movies made. It's not because, you know, someone's just handed them money. Like it's because they're good at what they do. Right. And I think that casting Nick Cage in this film and giving him like the freedom to kind of really jump into this character in the way that he does and use his abilities that, you know, he clearly has in other movies of doing his Cageisms and like being, you know, over the top, if you will, but playing it up for scares. Mm-hmm. It worked. It worked for me, you know. And there are a couple scenes where like you can obviously it's gonna be divisive and you're gonna get the people that really don't like it that are gonna be like, ah, that's too much, that's too far, you know. And I think on first watch I definitely was a fence sitter on that, where I was kind of like, I don't know how I feel about that. But on second watch, when I watched it twice, I was like, no, I like it. Okay. I'm here for it. All right.
Well, maybe I need to watch it again because I think I'm a fence sitter right now.
You're a fence sitter.
I definitely don't hate it.
Yeah.
Like I still will say today, like, my least favorite Nick Cage film, one of my least favorite movies, least favorite Marvel films, it's Ghost Rider 2.
Oh, God, he said it.
It's Ghost Rider 2. It's bad. I literally wanted to leave the theater.
It's pretty bad.
I literally wanted to leave the theater.
But again, I would argue that remake that movie now, cast Nick Cage again. I bet it's fantastic. I bet it's a fantastic movie.
Actually a cameo I thought we were going to get in Deadpool and Wolverine.
That would have been fun.
But did not. But that's
those movies were just, you know, it wasn't their time. Maybe it will be later on, but I didn't think that Nick Cage was a bad choice. I think that
It wasn't
their time.
I think the first one was fine. I thought the first one was fun.
Yeah.
The second one was just no.
No, I think that him and Long Legs worked. I enjoyed his performance a lot.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was pretty fun. There was definitely unsettling moments, but we'll get into that later. I want to talk about how this film kind of shot up to be the scariest movie in 10 years.
Yeah.
What the marketing is saying.
Yeah, I don't know, man. The marketing, this is my gripe when it comes to marketing films. I got a gripe, Ian. You ready for my gripe?
I'm here to listen.
All right. Thank you. So my gripe here, right? I really need the marketing people of Hollywood to hear me. We really got to stop misleading people when it comes to marketing, okay? This movie was not a Sinister. It was not a Conjuring. It was more a Seven. Mixed with maybe a Criminal Minds episode, you know, mixed with maybe a little bit of X-Files, a little bit for the supernatural part. But all in all, it's a bit of a cop movie.
Yeah.
A detective film.
I think that's what it is at its forefront.
Yeah, it's a detective film. A good one. A really good one. And very entertaining and enjoyable. But we got to stop using just like over the top marketing to get people in seats and start to believe more, like trust more in your filmmakers and the movie that they made, and lift the film up for what it is, not for what you want people to think it is.
Yeah.
You know, and because I feel like that, for one, that's honest. And for two, I think that that's all that's going to do is really get people to champion your film. You're going to get real fans that way. You know, you're going to get real legs that way.
Real long legs.
Real long legs that way.
Like deep. I'm talking like touching like
80-yard long legs.
Yeah, yeah, like you just take one step and you're already up the stairs. You know?
Exactly. Like the longest. Yeah. No, but I'm serious, man. I think we got to stop doing stuff like that, because I went in thinking that this was going to be the scariest movie I've ever seen in my life. I went in thinking like, oh, this is going to get me just like the first time I watched Sinister in a dark basement in my friend's house, you know, and I'm like, this is going to be crazy. And it was crazy, but not for those reasons. And it was scary, but not really as scary as, like, I think maybe the It movie was more scary.
Yeah.
Watching it the first time.
Yeah, I felt like it was scary. Like, it was more unsettling. Like, yeah. I didn't think it was, like, scary, scary. But besides that, also speaking of the cast, her name is...
Micah?
Not, yes. What
Micah Monroe.
Yeah, what do you think of her? I didn't realize that she was in It Follows. I also didn't realize that she was in The Watcher. Not the new Watcher that just came out, but the Watcher that came out on Shudder like maybe a year or two ago.
Didn't see that one.
It's good. It is actually pretty good. Yeah. I didn't realize that she was the same person. What do you think of her performance in this?
Great.
You liked it?
Oh, my God. Fantastic.
I thought she was a little dry in spots, but I think that's what it was supposed to be.
I think so too. I think here's my thing. I think we, a lot of times I'm noticing that people are finding certain characters in movies and TVs to be like coded. You know, mm-hmm. you've heard that term being kind of thrown around a lot now. People might say, "Oh, that character is queer coded," or that character might be like autistic coded and stuff like mm-hmm. that. I kind of got like those vibes from like her, and like obviously, and apologies if this comes across in any bad way, and I don't mean for it to, and I don't mean to sound like, you know, like ignorant or anything like that. I am not diagnosed with autism, so I you know, have no real authority or anything like that. But I'm watching it, and I'm watching her, and just the mannerisms that she had, how she was just reacting to people and whatnot, and like, you know, how you were saying that you felt like maybe her performance was dry in some parts. When I was watching it, I'm thinking in my head, maybe this character is, you know, autistic coded. Like maybe she's on the spectrum. Mm. You know, maybe that was written in, and I don't know. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, and I'm reaching. But I was thinking that, and I thought that was just kind of cool. And I like when characters can be like that sometimes. Like, and I don't know if sometimes this just occurs naturally through the performance of an actor, maybe that, you know, these just isms that they'll have, or no, let me not say isms, that doesn't sound correct, but these just like, maybe these like different, just these different things that they might do in the role, you know, just like subtleties and whatnot might come across in a way that, you know, makes someone else feel seen. That's really what I'm getting at. Like maybe yeah, someone looks at that and they see a bit of themselves in that character, and they're like, oh wow, they're like, they're, you know, they're like me. Because it did feel,
I get that.
Like I felt like her performance felt like very unique. It didn't feel generic to me. It didn't feel like generic beat cop or generic detective. Like she felt like a very specific character. Like she was a character.
Okay. No, I get that. It's kind of like sorry, review. I bring up a lot of Marvel films, but I saw a review of, like, people talking about the Guardians films, how Drax is, like, a beloved character. I saw somebody talk about how, like, his brother or cousin or something, like, somehow related. Random person online. Don't know who they are. But, yeah, I mean, it could be fake. It could be fake news. But I don't know. But it was, like, their brother or some type of relative loves to see Drax in the Guardians films because Drax tends to have more qualities on the autistic side, and this certain individual family member is on the autistic spectrum, and they've connected with that character.
So that's what I mean. Yeah, I feel like some people can watch it, and whether it's true that that character is meant to be that way, and the, you know, the filmmaker is meant for it to be that way or not, I do love seeing people find that connection. You know, and because that's all we were really wanting when we were watching these films. You know, you love to see, you know, yourself or someone else or just to connect in some way. You know,
that's what visual arts is.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just bringing you in.
It's what art is in general.
Exactly.
Visual arts is a big one.
And that's why I really loved about her character was I felt like, even though this might not be me connecting, just a thought of like, I love just how not generic this character is, that I knew like someone's going to connect with this. Someone's going to feel, you know, her as a character. And I love that. I love the performance. Good job. Good job, Micah.
You know, I think after you're talking about it, I do appreciate it more. I think when I initially went into the film, I was like a little like, okay, like it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I liked her more in other parts, you know, but I did appreciate her character. Like, I appreciate the dried, like, beat cop, FBI agent, whatever.
Because you got to think about it too, Ian. I think it stands out to you also because we oftentimes have so many performances from other actors that are cookie cutter.
Yeah, that's
true. You know, not to say that they're bad or anything like that, but, you know, it feels samey, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like a lot of times nowadays, especially in huge blockbuster films, we have a lot of performances from, like, almost non-actors, like people who are kind of just celebrity and like they're just being themselves.
Yeah.
And because of that, like you're not really getting a lot of that, like real performance, that real, like authentic, just original, like character.
Yeah.
So you see something like that. And I could totally see why your first thought could be like, oh, that's, you know, she seems sort of dry. Well, she was, but yeah. I think it was intentional. That was the point.
It's so funny you actually think about that. Because not this past year, but the year before, I lived with my parents again for like a year. And they literally watched nothing but freaking SVU, Law and Order, just playing in Criminal Minds. Mm. And it was just like, I mean, there's some great episodes, some great TV episodes, you know, in there. But it is very formulaic after a while that you're just like, oh, you know, this is like, you know, he's like the bad guy and he's going to be saying his bad guy monologue, or he's going to act like this and they're going to act like this. But I like how you bring that up as a new perspective on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's really it for this intro part that we had. I don't have much besides that. So if we want to just get into the spoiler part of the movie.
Yeah, let's spoil it up.
So once again, stop watching if you haven't watched it. Yeah, this is spoilers. We're entering the spoiler territory. Watch the film if you're watching this right
now. Watch the film. Watch it in theaters. This film deserves to be seen in theaters. This film deserves your money.
Every film, I think, deserves to be seen in theaters.
We want to see more films in theaters. The only way to do that is to get in the theater. Plus, theater experiences are fun.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my uncle is anti-theater. Sorry, this is a side tangent. My uncle doesn't like the theater because he thinks it's dirty. But I mean, I don't 100% disagree with him on that. But we can wash our clothes. We can take a shower.
We can.
So,
go to the theater. See the movie. Come back. Join us again.
Mm-hmm.
Let's spoil it.
Anyway, spoiling it up. So first entrance, first time we see the man, long legs, kind of like a flashback. I like how they did the aspect ratio. Kind of gave it like an old school film, like family film, you know? Yeah.
Anytime you do that, the aspect, that's 4:3 ratio.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I was going to say that, but I didn't, I'm not a film major, so I wasn't going to say.
No, you're
like,
good. No, they hit, whenever they hit the 4:3 aspect ratio, you know, they're going to do some artsy, or this is supposed to be like a photograph.
Yeah. Yeah. I
like
think
that's really what they were going for, is more of like the photograph kind of like, oh, this is old. And then they framed it up and almost like Charlie Brown-esque, like we don't see the parents' faces. And I thought that was kind of funny. Yeah. You don't see the adults' faces. And I loved that until he was like, oh, I seem to have lost my long legs today.
Yeah. And we get a quick glimpse of his face.
Not the full face. Yeah, it was only like nose down, I think.
Yeah.
And it was real quick.
I literally thought at first he was like, I don't know why. I thought when he dropped down to show his full face, I thought for whatever reason he was just going to like rip his legs off. I don't know.
What? I don't know. What movie you thought you were seeing?
I don't know. I thought I was in to watch the scariest movie ever.
This is what happens when you mislead people with marketing.
Yeah, exactly.
You get this.
I thought this he was going to like rip his legs
he
off.
Was going to see Saw 5,
yeah.
5D,
but
and he was really seeing Long Legs.
Long Legs, the movie.
Long Legs, the movie.
Long Legs, the musical.
That I'd pay to see.
I think that would be interesting. But anyways, yeah, I love the opening. I think the opening is really great, really scary. And then when we get introduced years later, I picked up that the little girl that we saw in the very beginning is also the big girl that we see following, who's an FBI agent now.
I didn't get that until towards the end.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that didn't hit me until like way later. I was not thinking that at all. I was just thinking, oh, just cold open. Got ourselves a nice little cold open case here. And this is just showing like a time where he was long legging it up.
See, I kind of try to think of this as 4D chess now, because I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it came out, might have been last year, 2022, but it's See How They Run, or how, like, something like that. But it's like a crime noir film that came out a couple years ago. And they literally tell the ending of the movie in the movie.
Mm.
And I just, but it's like they're it's a play, like it's centered around a play. Someone dies that is a big actor.
No, that's fair.
Oh, they're like, oh, this is how we think it should end, and it's like this cop's got a gun and blah blah blah. And I literally sat there and I was like, this is gonna be the end of the movie,
right? They're telling me right now.
Yeah, and it was. So now I try to just think like
I'm the opposite, dude. I think with all of like the knowledge that I've gained over the years of just how films get made, I think I have to actively turn my brain off a bit when I'm watching movies, especially horror movies. It's my favorite movie genre, so that I'm not doing that, because I don't want, because otherwise I'm going to be picking it apart the whole time. I'm going to be thinking about what went right, what went wrong, how do they do this, how'd they make that work. And then I'm going to be thinking plot, and I'm going to be thinking, oh, okay, well, you know, how's this plot structure, you know, going? Like, what act are we in? How are they going to get from point A to point B? And I'm going to come up with the rest of the story in my head, you know, and that. And when I do that, I'm not fully immersed in the film.
That's fair.
So I like to do that on a second watch. First watch, I'm like, I try to turn my brain off and I'm just in it. I'm not trying to figure out what's going to happen. If I do catch it, I catch it. If I don't, you know, I'm really just like moment to moment, like, let me experience
that. Is kind of interesting. I felt the opposite when I learned more about any subject, really. I feel like, well, now I'm like have a decent knowledge on it. You know, I think that it's like it's the same thing. I'm a pro wrestling fan. I like pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely fake. I'm not one of those people. I know it's fake.
Yeah.
But like I literally, I watched a wrestling match today before coming over here. And I was talking to my wife about it, and she was watching it with me. And I literally go, this is what's going to happen. This person is going to do this, and that person's going to do that. And that person will then give the advantage to the other person. And then they will do their finish, and it's going to be the finish of the match. And I was right.
You were right.
Yeah.
You predicted.
I was right. I could book it. I can see it. I wish. That'd be a nice job. But anyways, but I don't think that hinders it in my experience. I kind of feel like it's like gives me a backstage pass, you know, like I'm in on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I did appreciate that. I was like, okay, this person is the little girl. And we don't know that yet, but I think this is this person. And we get to... It's a very hard open, in my opinion. You know, they're looking for someone who's some serial killer or mass murderer person.
Did you catch in that sequence that Micah's character looked at her partner before they said who her partner was?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, she does. She turns her head and looks at him, and then the camera.
Oh, you're right. She does do that
too.
Yeah.
And then she and that's basically her having a bit of that sixth sense.
Yeah, you know? I didn't think about that. I just thought, like, maybe there was some type of, like, we're good partners or good friends. No, I got, man. Yeah, no, I didn't think about that.
This is what I mean when I say I love those little subtle things, you know. you notice it. And like, I didn't pick that up on first watch, but second watch, I was like, oh, that's nice. But you're right. We had that open, and then we go into them searching around this interesting neighborhood that I feel like I've been in before. Like, I feel like I've definitely been in a neighborhood like that, looking for this guy. And that's the part of the horror that I liked of this. And it's not even really horror, but like just the tension building, where it's like the suburban, cooped up, how the houses look the same kind of neighborhood. And it's got these little kind of alleyways in between that, like, you know that if someone wanted to, they could kind of sneak, you know? But you don't know what's going on. So it was really that I think did a good job of that setting, did a good job of like making the mundane, you know, scary. And that's one thing I loved about Long Legs, and I love about movies like this that are a bit grounded. You know, they do a good job of making the mundane feel horrifying. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, fun. I think that was good. Kind of fast forwarding through this, you know, hard open gunshot, find out she's somewhat kind of psychic, somewhat just,
yeah, because she picks out intuition. The house, she's got a tingle.
We get a lot of scenes where they're putting her on a new case that is unsolved, and we get to her house, her cabin, and is it in the woods?
Yep.
Kind of. Okay. Cabin in the Woods. Not the funny comedy horror film, but Cabin in the Woods. I was expecting some like scary stuff to be happening.
Right.
We did not get that.
No. And that's again where I feel like the movie, it's weird because it's like the movie is subverting expectations, but I don't think it meant to. I think that the movie, this is just the movie, and because of the marketing, you were thinking you were going to get some crazy, like, super scary scene, and there was, like, some tension and suspense in that scene of the house, like, of Long Legs chasing suspense. Her through the house, yeah. Or whatever, but it wasn't played in the way that you would have thought had this been, like, a Conjuring movie.
Yeah.
It played out in the way that you would have thought if you would have went in thinking that this was, like, a Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
You know?
Which I want to say that, in my opinion, is still horror to an extent.
Yeah, of course.
Because I saw,
but the beats are different.
They're different.
And I think that's the big distinction. Like, yeah. the main beats are always going to just be a bit different. And the way that the atmosphere is played into it and everything, it's just different. It's not the same as a Conjuring. It's not the same as a... You know, as a nun or a sinister, they're just not the same.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I agree. We see a little bit of Long Legs in the background. You know, they're doing his little long leg things.
Mm-hmm.
Not really stretching them legs. But,
no, you know, but he's back there.
He's back there. It's very suspenseful. You know, there's some beautiful shots. We get. I do like the FBI director. I don't know his name.
He did a fantastic job, as did Micah Monroe's mom. I'm not remembering her name either, but she also did.
She was
a fantastic job.
There was a part of me that thought maybe like Micah was just talking to no one at one point.
See, that would have been interesting. Now we're playing into a little bit of psychosis, maybe a little bit of mental health.
Yeah, that's what I thought they were going
on. Yeah, because of the phone conversations were a bit like... off, like, oh, why is she saying these things? But it makes sense towards the end, sort of, once we get to like the doll stuff, and that's where I feel like, you know, I got a gripe. Ian, I got a gripe.
You got a gripe with the doll stuff. Interesting, because I thought it was...
I got a gripe.
Okay, go ahead. Shoot your gripe, and then I'll talk
about my gripe. Okay, so in this movie, we got these dolls. These dolls are... You find out that these dolls are what controls the people. Because their whole thing is that we're trying to figure out, well, how the heck is Long Legs getting these families to kill themselves? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
we have him at the scene, but we never have... He's never the one doing the murdering. So how does that work? Well, it's the dolls. He makes the dolls. He's the doll maker. And the devil, I guess, puts juju magic
in a ball.
In a weird
metal ball.
And then Long Leg put the metal ball inside the doll, and they gift that doll to the child in a family whose birthday is on the 14th. I don't get that significance, but the birthday's got to be on the 14th, and that doll allows Devilman to infect the family's mind, basically, mm-hmm. and get them to go cuckoo bananas and murder each other. Yeah. That is what happens. Now, my gripe is that at this point of the movie, we transitioned from procedural cop detective thriller. We transitioned from Seven and Silence of the Lambs right on into Conjuring. Mm-hmm. And I didn't enjoy that because I felt like we were really getting just kind of, I don't know, I felt like we were really just getting two different films at that point. And at that point, you had to choose which part of the film is going to get the most like screen time, essentially. And you can't do both. And they try to do both. And I think that it still was fine, but I think that they would have leaned heavily into one or the other. Like either make this film be more about the supernatural and have that be more in the forefront from the beginning. Because at the end of the day, Longlegs really wasn't that important. He died off pretty.
He's the puppet.
Yeah, he's the puppet. He died off pretty decently early into the film, and just kind of gave way to the rest of the plot and for Micah to figure out, well, who was his accomplice? Well, it's someone who's close to you. It's your mom. Congrats. Yeah. You know,
that was a little shocking.
No, it was definitely shocking. But that also to me felt more, this is just a human. This is just a person. This is your mom. It felt more leaning into what could have just been like, you got a cuckoo bananas mom and you know, like that's it. And like that leaned more into a more grounded story. That's not like The Conjuring. So that's why my gripe was just like, I felt like they should have really leaned heavily one way or the other. Give us Seven or give us The Conjuring. We can't do both in this sense. Cause there, if you're going with the supernatural, now I got more questions. What's with these balls? What's with these dolls? What's with Longlegs? Where'd he come from? Is he her dad? Who is this man?
Yeah.
Where the devil at? And yeah, I know they said,
where'd the devil be?
I know they said that they got him like, you know, appearing in the background of different places, yada yada, like 17 times or something like that.
Yeah, but
I noticed some of them, not all of them. I noticed maybe like four or five. But it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, but like, which way are we going? Is this, if it's more supernatural, we need to see him more. Show him more. Show more. I want more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
cut for time here a little bit.
No, so. You're fine. I agree with you. I think that, you know, I think that it. I wish it was scarier. I was really going in for a good scare.
I agree.
Especially because I saw Maxine a few weeks before that, and I was really hoping Maxine was going to be really scary, but it really wasn't. It was more so like a cop drama film. You know, which is fine, but I just wish that I was in for being scared, which is weird because if you knew me in like younger life, I did not want that at all. But
now you're a little scared again.
Now because of living with you for a year, I was and doing movies with.
I turned you out, Ian.
Yeah, I
tricked
once
you out.
Once you see Hereditary, it's kind of like
okay. Rip the Band-Aid out, baby.
Yeah. But there's also just anyways, that's a side tangent. There's great horror films.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think that there was some really beautiful cinematography in this film. There's
100%
beautiful shots, especially
amazing
when
screen grabs.
I think the biggest thing that I loved about the film, shot wise, was when they were expecting the barn and they were finding the first doll.
Mm.
When they have that beautiful shot where they're in, like the head FBI guy and Micah's character are in that bar, the top part of the barn, and it's just the light is peering through.
Yeah,
lit. It was beautiful. It was just like, oh man, this is like a work of art right here. But besides that, like I agree with it being not scary. Marketing should have done better in that because I love those kind of slightly terrifying. Like I love Silence of the Lambs. I like Seven. I like those films, but it just is like, I would have appreciated it more if I knew it was a cop first and then a horror second, like the X-Files in a way.
That's
you know
what I mean? Yeah. Because then you get that whole fan base out, you know? Yeah. And maybe they wouldn't have been beforehand. Or at least that now you're getting them to kind of market more for you because they can go see it first They can go to your early screenings. Heck, you can invite some of those fans. Find those fans online. It's not hard. And invite them to pre-screenings and whatnot so that they can sing your movie's praises. We don't need to champion a film as being the scariest film since The Conjuring or Paranormal Activity if it's not. And we got to be honest with ourselves about stuff like that.
I don't think Paranormal Activity is that scary.
The Paranormal Activity did the same thing.
Yeah. I think Conjuring is pretty scary. I watch that like it's no tomorrow now. I love the bet. Favorite line in that film is Bathsheba, but I think we can probably wrap it up, and then we got a game going on.
Yeah.
And then any final thoughts at all?
Good movie. A pretty solid film. I think if you have the time and the ability to see it twice and you are a fence sitter, see it again. See how you feel. Because I was a fence sitter the first time. Not thinking I thought I didn't like it, but I was a fence sitter on just wondering whether or not I truly, truly enjoyed it or if I just thought it was okay. But I think after watching the second time, I was like, no, I do enjoy this movie. I like this movie. Yeah. I think it's a good movie. I think it's something that people should see. You should pay to see it. It's a good movie. Go see it.
And final review. Oh, I guess I can go. I think it's good. I don't think it's bad. I've seen a lot worse. Nick Cage is fun in it. I love a good Nick Cage film.
We love him. Love him.
I don't think he's bad at all. I like his appreciation of film in interviews. I like Micah. I liked her in It Follows, and I like her in The Watcher. I think it's a solid film. I don't think it's anything... I think if I were to watch it, I might give it a different review. But I think based off of just seeing it the first time, being hyped up from the marketing, which being the advertising marketing person, did its job. But it just was a little bit of a letdown to an extent. In that sense, it's uneasy, but it's not terrifying. And that's what I was expecting. It's terrifying.
So, I agree.
My final grading of it is a B-. So
I'm going to have to see your B- and raise it to a B+ for myself.
Interesting.
Okay. B+. Solid B+. Good job, guys.
Good job.
Yeah, average.
I do think it's great.
Well, I guess it's above average.
I think that if the story was just a little stronger, I think it'd be up to a B to B+.
But
the story was just kind of like maybe even more the expectation.
Go see it. It's a good movie.
I still suggest you go see it.
Go see it.
Yeah. All right. Well, you want to jump into this game?
Yeah.
I got a game for you.
We're gonna close this out, though.
Yeah.
So if you want to see the game, you got to jump on the Patreon. So
sure. Yeah. I forgot we were doing that.
Yeah. Get on the Patreon. Ian has see it. He may have long legs, but he doesn't have a long memory.
Long legs, not long memory.
Check us out there on the Patreon. You want to see us play this long leg game. All right. Thank you guys for listening to this podcast. Thank you guys for watching it. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hurry up, catch us before we're gone. Catch us, find us where we're at on socials. Our podcast.
You can find me on Letterboxd if you want, which my Letterboxd is a little outdated now because I made it for our old podcast, but
it's okay.
It's Bro BBR or something like that.
You know? They'll find it. They'll catch us.
Catch me on Letterboxd.
All right, guys. Goodbye.
See you later. Bye.